Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Colosso Soprano.
Go!
The premier destination for soccer talk with Emmy Award-winning play-by-play man Dan Dibley.
Work.
And international soccer savant Rick Tittle.
Work it, work it.
Let's kick it off.
Well, is it really a hiatus if you just step aside for a couple of weeks? Perhaps we debate that toward the tail end of the program today. But yes, we're back. It's Golazo Supremo.
Golazo!
Go, 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 go. Go! And by the way, we do have some action going on right now, and we do have a goal as we break down Women's World Cup today. Gold Cup, transfer news at all, but it is USA and Sweden, and the Yanks have struck first, Rick.
Yes, and this is a huge game. In the last, I think, 11 meetings, the USA is 5-3-3, I think, against Sweden. Sweden and the USA have played five straight World Cups. The best Sweden has ever done is a second-place finish. Of course, the United States are the holders. So they both dispatched. We beat Chile 3-0, they beat them 2-0. We beat Thailand 13-0. They beat Thailand 5-1. More merciful.
Yeah, and the Thailand goal, by the way, in that game, a very emotional moment for the Thai side as they were able to strike against Sweden. But ultimately, that might be the big telling point for me. 13-0 as opposed to 5-1 against common opponent.
And the head coach came out and he said, "I know we can't win, but let's try to tie."
Okay. Thanks for joining us, folks. There'll be another hiatus from now until forever.
Another fortnight.
Yeah, we'll see you back here when hell freezes over after that terrible pun. What do you make of the USA team so far, Rick? We haven't gotten into the Thailand controversy, which we can discuss momentarily, but just this team as comprised feels to me like this might be the best American team ever when you think about total quality front to back.
They look fantastic, and you think about some of they've played 20 players in two games. I mean, it's just amazing the depth of this team, and we have something that no other country has, and we have the NCAA ranks, which hones our young ladies up into these great players. Everybody else, when they get out of school at 16, wherever they live, unless they come to America, they can't have this. And so you just think about building from strength to strength. Some of the young girls. I had Crystal Dunn on my show a couple of weeks ago. She was the last person cut from the last team.
Wow.
And now she starts. And someone with the fantastic pedigree of an Ali Krieger doesn't even start. I mean, you think about all these great players. Becky Sauerbrunn, this is the first game that she's really been healthy for the back line. And so that to me, I mean, you think about all the goals, it's impressive. And Alex Morgan on her way to a golden boot. She didn't even play against Chile. She didn't have to. Keeping the other team out, defense wins something.
I think championships and also cups, yes. In this case. And
sure.
You think about Carly Lloyd, who didn't start against Thailand, and she was the key talisperson from the last World Cup cycle. Megan Rapinoe, the veteran, still in there as well. Before we get into the over-celebrating against Thailand, which was, to me, quite offensive, let's compare this team to the teams of days gone by, 1999 in particular, which is often cited as the greatest moment in female sports history here in the United States, and that might be our finest team with Mia Hamm, Brandi Chastain, Julie Foudy, etc. How would you compare this year's team to that team, or is it just unfair because of the development of the sport on the whole?
I think this team would kick 1999 team's butt. I really do. And Mia Hamm is our greatest ever player. And name dropping again, I had Christine Lilly on the show a couple of weeks ago. And she, I mean, back then, I actually worked that the first ever World Cup, 1991, at least on the American side of it. And when Michelle Akers Stahl was such a star, Roger Staubach. But I just think about the midfield and nothing against, you know, Julie Foudy or Tisha Venturini or some. They were great players. I'm not trying to make them seem bad, but I'm just saying, once again, you mentioned Carly Lloyd. She didn't even play in the first game. She comes in the second game and she gets a brace. It's just top to bottom. I like Brianna Scurry. She was a good goalkeeper. But I just think this team is much, much deeper. Now, the only thing is now is that every other country has gotten a lot better, too. So the competition is much more fierce.
Absolutely. And in the days of Julie Foudy-Meaham et al., there were really two or three countries you could look to and say they're formidable. But now, even in this World Cup where we look at a Thailand losing 13-0, you realize that the bottom of the tournament still not yet up to caliber, but there are another 6, 7, or 8 teams, Canada, France, Germany, this Sweden side, who have improved dramatically in a generation.
Yeah, and every World Cup's going to have a minnow. They're going to have a team from Oceania. There's always a team that's going to get beat down like that, especially if the World Cup's going to expand to some, 48 teams, whatever it is. There are going to be even more minnows. But, I just think about how it was really only the Scandinavian countries, Germany and us, that really embraced female sports. I remember being in England talking to people about how it would strip your femininity and you don't want to do it. No boy would want to go on a date with you. I think about in Germany where my relatives are saying, look, soccer's for big, strong, tough men. Why would a girl want to play it? They've finally gotten over all that.
Thankfully, because the world's a better place when sports is available to all people.
Right.
And you look at what happened in that first match. This is why it's a little bit of a stark reminder of just where we are as a globe, as a global citizenship, when it comes to women's sports. USA 13, Thailand nothing. This is not to highlight the disparity between the two sides, but the general reaction to what took place. Megan Rapinoe scoring to make it 9-0, running, doing two spins, and a slide on the ground with a couple of kicks that are straight out of the Rockettes. Some, including myself, felt it was a little bit of an over-celebration. But what does that say about where we are in female sports and just the disparity between the two teams?
Well, this is a touchy one because, when we get into nationalism when we have nations playing. And I can never, when you wait 4 years to get to a World Cup and you score a World Cup goal, which basically would, immortalize you on the men's game. So I can't tell one of our female players not to celebrate. But I think what it is we're so conditioning to not making the other team look bad. I have no problem with them continuing to score, and I think it would be a bigger insult if you just took the air out of the ball.
Agreed.
But, yeah, maybe some of the celebrations were over the top. I'm sort of, I don't really have a strong opinion either way. It didn't embarrass me, but on the other hand, maybe it would have looked better. These Canadian women who commented like this was some sort of war crime, I thought was a little over the top.
Without a doubt. And you look at the under-20 World Cup that just took place. There was a young man from Norway who himself, I believe he had 8 in a game, and they won 12-0. And you see almost an apologetic nature after the 6th, 7th, and 8th goal. And I agree with you that you should continue to play hard, and you should continue to try to play as well as you can because there's tough matches ahead and you want to stay sharp. But for me, where the line was crossed, and again, it wasn't an international incident and I wasn't calling for the resignation of Megan Rapinoe from all international events, but just the celebrating when it's clear that you're humiliating a team and Megan Rapinoe has scored many goals at many different levels. For me, it was just a case of maybe having a little bit more perspective as to the overall, I guess, situation. You're up 9-0. You're scoring at will against a team that has given up. How great of an achievement is it really when you strip away the circumstance?
Fair enough.
So there you have it. Right now we're in the 19th minute. USA 1, Sweden nothing. By the time you hear this, the game will be over. But we want you to feel like you're living the game as we are. Sweden's had a pretty decent percentage of the ball early on, but the most quality chances do lie in the feet of the U.S. women.
You think about the last time Sweden beat the USA. Sweden had 6 shots on goal. The United States had 27 shots on goal. So sometimes it's just not your day. That's why I'm happy that we got this early goal. But the other thing is, too, that I like about this is that the USA is not acting like they have a goal. They're acting like they're a goal down. And that's their strength. just attack, 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 keep the other team on your on their heels and being a goal down, they are on their heels right now. So I couldn't see on the computer here who just somebody just was clearing the box and hit it over the bar. It was sort of a half pass, half shot type of thing. But right now I'm liking the aggression. It's looking good.
And we are watching on my small HP monitor. It's probably about 10 inches.
It's doing a good job, though. It's trying.
It's hanging in there. USA up 1-0. And the other side, it is Thailand and Chile, 0-0. Earlier today, a bit of a, not a shocker, but an eyebrow raiser. Netherlands 2, Canada 1. Does this signal the demise, the end of the Canadian run as a real soccer superpower?
Well, I hope Drake really chokes on that one.
Nice. Exactly.
Well, you think about it. And I mean, you think, you know, Canada's been to one World Cup, and that was in 86 because Mexico was disqualified and the USA couldn't get their head out of their booty. And then you think about the Netherlands, one of the great soccer nations of all time. It doesn't shock me because I sort of think of them as I do the men, which I shouldn't. But, yeah, I don't think anybody's crying over that.
Spain also through, as are France and Germany. England is through. Norway and Australia as well. Outside of the U.S., any other team out there that gives you maybe a pause?
Well, the Germans always do. They've won it before. And then one of the dark horses this year is England. And they've come some really great leaps and strides as well. I don't know if you saw the Scotland game against Argentina yesterday. Scotland was up 3-0 and cruising into the second round, and then it was a 3-3 draw.
Wow.
In the end. And it happened again yesterday on the third goal. This is the two times in the tournament now where a penalty was asked to be retaken because the goalie took a step forward, which every goalie has done in the history of soccer. They give you one step for the angle. What it usually is, I've noticed with men's soccer over the years, is if you take two steps forward, then they say, no. But it's kind of hard to only do the lateral movement when you've been doing that your whole life, but they're really cracking down on that.
And it's nearly impossible because you're right. They allow you one step laterally as long as you stay on your line, mm-hmm. but that does next to no good. You need to be able to cut down the angle. What is the fix for this iteration of the penalty kick?
The only fix would be if you want to keep playing the same style, then you got to line up a step behind the goal line, which would be weird. The other thing is just to retrain yourself to just be timber left, timber right.
That takes a lot of the fun away, though.
Yeah, well, I know. It's just, and you hate to see, you know, when in Argentina, the player kicks it right at the goalie, and then they go, nope, take it again, and then they score. It's like they really don't deserve that goal.
An undeserved goal indeed. Yeah. Golazo Supremo, Rick Tittle, and Dan Dibley. Let's turn our attention to the CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Copa d'Oro.
Which is now ongoing. It is underway. You take a look at some of the group action. Mexico leading Group A with a couple of victories, including one over Canada. Canada and Martinique. Martinique, which beat Cuba, by the way, in a bit of an island shocker there in Group A.
Yeah, let's watch that penalty. The guy put it 50 feet over the bar. That Canada-Martinique game at the Rose Bowl made a Tuesday night Mariners A's game look like the Super Bowl. There might have been 8 people at that game.
Really?
Yeah. Eight, literally.
At the Rose Bowl.
At the Rose Bowl. You can imagine how big that would be.
And that was half the population of Martinique, actually. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, you talk about minnows. You know, those players aren't even professional. They're librarians and taxi cab drivers. And so kudos to them.
The beauty of these international events. And Martinique, with a victory, as mentioned, over Cuba. So that's at least something that they can put as a feather in their cap as they head back to their 9-to-5.
I saw the Cuban national team play one time against the United States at the Oakland Coliseum. And I believe one guy defected and he hid like at Francesco's on Hagenberger.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just. And yeah, you know, I make light of it, but it's hard. I mean, you
come for the garlic bread, stay for the immunity. Is that their official slogan?
I'd like an extra helping of amnesty, please.
Seriously. Let me get the linguine and clam sauce and safe haven.
Wow.
For here?
Yeah.
Literally, not to go. Please. I won't, you know.
I'll give you a big tip and please don't torture my family.
I think we've exhausted this from one-liners. Yeah, no, I might have had one more.
Two is the Johnny Carson always said, don't go three. You went three and it was still good. I went four and it kind of
did. Well, it's two each, so I think Johnny would have allowed it.
Okay. All right, that's good.
A Group B, you've got Costa Rica and Haiti with the victories. Bermuda and Nicaragua yet to get a victory. Jamaica, the Jamaicans with pretty wild victory over Los Contrachos. That thing got contentious.
The Reggae Boys. And when you name all these teams, it just makes me even more sick that we contrived not to qualify for a World Cup out of this region.
We're not here to talk about the past, Mark McGuire.
I'm not here to talk about past, talk about future.
El Salvador beating Curaçao in their first match, more Group C action.
One of the Dutch ABCs, where I believe Bam Bam Mullins is a prince.
Of Curaçao.
Yes.
And what would the B be?
Bermuda.
And then the A, of course,
Aruba.
Aruba, mm-hmm. Bermuda, and Curaçao. Did they get to the D or just the ABCs?
I'll show you the D.
Okay. This is Rick Tittle intensively as he works a little bit blue.
You shouldn't be laughing at your own jokes, too, which I just did.
No, so. That was great.
Thanks.
It took away the awkward silence. Yeah.
Well,
you
always say, it's a podcast.
Let it fly,
and
dog.
We've held to it. We've never made an edit.
No dumping, no edits. God damn it. Group D, USA with a victory. Panama also a win. Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana with the losses. I have to ask the question, but is there any way we don't get out of this group?
No. It is no Group del Muerto. But I will say this. The most important thing for the United States is to not hemorrhage goals. So the clean sheet is the most important thing. The other thing is now we have to think about the competition. We may have found a player in Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd, his dad's American. He grew up in California, but he's played like 6 times for New Zealand, the All Whites, but they weren't full internationals. So you can still retract it and come back. He scored 2 goals in that game. The marking was shambolic, but they still had finishes. So I'm kind of hoping that he might be a player for us.
Jossie Zardes also with a goal in the 55th mm-hmm. minute. Do we have faith that he's ready to embrace the role of consistent striker? I've seen him play from a young age, and he shows flashes of world quality. The speed is second to none, but then at stretches, he can be taken away because he's pretty much largely just a vertical threat.
Well, he's a perfect example of a guy who needed to go to an academy overseas when he was 16. Where'd he go? Cal State Bakersfield. Did he get better there? No. He beat you and me is who he would beat. This was the back two. And so, yes, I have a lot of faith in him. He's got a lot of natural talent. But I want us to find those guys and send them to an academy before they waste 4 years at Cal State Bakersfield. No offense to the, who are they?
I would guess the Farmers, but
and your
I could
school
be
was Valley State.
Northridge, formerly San Fernando Valley State, yeah. The Matadors.
That's right.
Definitely. I know that Bakersfield is blue and gold, I believe, are their colors are blue and white, so
yeah,
I'm coming
so.
Up short.
And then Gyasi's hair is what, gray and black. Doesn't he spray paint his hair silver or something like that?
Something. He spray painted it for a while. I haven't checked to do lately.
Yeah.
Michael Bradley in a midfield with a Christian Pulisic. Is it more of a statement of the state of the U.S. national team that we need Michael Bradley still in the center of the park?
See, this is the thing, too, is that, I mean, I understand Greg Berhalter. He doesn't want to come in and reinvent the wheel, the new head coach. But Michael Bradley's expiration date was 6 years ago, really after South Africa. That was the last time, so it's more than 6 years. But that's the one thing that just makes you feel sour. And every coach has a guy you don't like. You know, Bruce Arena loved Jeff Agoose. You know, Steve Sampson loved, just whatever. You can just pick a guy and you're like, why do you play? Bora, who I loved, like Mike Sorber, you know, and what's his name? Gansler made, the captain was Peter Vermees, you know? I mean, just why do we play these guys? So that's the one where I'm kind of sick to my stomach that his old ass is out there.
It's tough, but in this setting, maybe this is his farewell, much like Chris Wondolowski got some Gold Cup burn toward the end of his national team run in the Gold Cup. So this obviously not going to be the side that we look to qualify with for the World Cup in Qatar. If it still happens in Qatar, as we take a quick deviation away from the tournament soccer that's going on right now, Michel Platini, sacre bleu, adios or adieu. Adieu, Michel.
Michel Platini was by far the greatest French player of all time.
Bonsoir.
Until we had Zizou. I'll never forget when he was the head coach of France and Denmark beat them at Sweden in 92, which put Denmark in the second round of tournament. They eventually won. Ebbe Sand scoring the goal of the Luton Town Hatters. And immediately, Michel Platini resigned. That was the great team with Jean-Pierre Papin up front and all those great players. But Platini, this is what you do when you get knocked out of a tournament. You resign, which, of course, we don't do here. I mean, Sunil Gulati just put himself into the Hall of Fame, which is absolutely ridiculous. But you mentioned Qatar. I mean, the Copa America is going on, and Japan and Qatar are guest teams. And it's obviously why they want to get on the map before the World Cup in a couple of years. But then again, I went to a Copa America match down at Levi's Stadium. I think my car is still trying to get out of that lot now. But I do remember in 1995 when we were guests of the Copa America first time, went down to Argentina, beat Argentina 3-0. Diego Simeone said, "We're going to kill all of you." And as the bus left the stadium, people threw rocks and garbage at it. Another name drop, had Tony Miola on my show 2 days ago. We were actually talking about that. He wasn't on the team at the time. That was Friedel and Keller days. But it's weird. I mean, I understand Japan has a good team, but these guest teams, I mean, can you imagine the UEFA, I mean, having their European Cup championship and saying, and Australia and Mexico.
Right. Like, come on.
Why?
Yeah. Makes no sense. No. In so many of these competitions, and you and I have had this debate here on Golazo Supremo before, too many competitions for me, too much watered down action. We haven't even talked about the UEFA Nations Cup and how that all got solved, nor will we most likely. Although I must admit, I watched at least half of Le Grand Finale with Portugal winning at home, which was kind of cool. But by and large, so many of these competitions are superfluous.
That's one where I thought, you know what? It's hard enough in a non-World Cup year, in a non-European Championship year, all these good players playing in Europe, and yet there's Harry Kane running out there wearing the shirt for the Three Lions, and he's the captain. Of course he's going to show up. But I thought these guys will literally get 3 weeks off before they... I mean, can you imagine that? 3 weeks off is all you get.
Because pretty soon, I mean, we sit
back
here
in
late June. They got to be back in camp within, you know, probably the end of July, right?
Yes, they are back in camp in July. And they're playing in August. They're going to Singapore and America and South, all over the place, Australia. It's just, I just wish they got a little bit of a bigger break. Now, if they stunk and they weren't in Europe, they would have a bigger break. So it's pick your poison.
Right. Dan Dibley, Rick Tittle here, Golazo Supremo. We've got Gold Cup action this Saturday with the U.S. taking on... not just Trinidad and Tobago. So it's always tough when you got to take on both Trinidad and Tobago. USA women right now, still up 1-0, 33rd minute, applying steady pressure to the Swedes. A nice look toward the back post, left wanting, or goes wanting, Rick, as we like to say.
Yes.
Well, how about this?
Sorry, I should have picked that up.
Do we go to transfer news, or do we...
People think that we have some sort of producer and this is laid out. This is seat of the pants, two guys who've been doing this a long time. So we just talk about what ifs. So wherever you want to go.
Let's go to PSG. Let's go to France and talk about what's the deal with PSG. Mbappe and Neymar both there. It seems to not be working. What does PSG do? And if you had to choose right now going into this upcoming season, Neymar or Mbappe?
Well, I'd go with Mbappe. It's not even a choice, I don't think, at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, there's just no way. I think he's just... Neymar is a great talent. There's talk of him going back to Barcelona now. I don't know if that's going to happen. What is Mbappe now, 19? I mean, there's just too much upside at this point. If they were the same age, I'd probably go Neymar, but... it's funny, Neymar is the old man in this situation.
Only 25 years of age. He was considered by many to be right there for best player in the world before his injury. Mm-hmm. And Mbappe, obviously a great flash in the World Cup last summer. And he's produced some good results internationally this year. But still, to me, yet to prove it over the long haul. So I would side with Neymar, 25, entering those peak years.
You can't go wrong with saying you'd pick Neymar. There's no like, oh, you idiot. No, I mean, how can you be wrong wanting Neymar on your team? I just think because of the other thing is too, is Neymar, you're also getting a giant drama queen too. I don't know how Mbappe is. Maybe he's one too, but I know about Neymar. And so you kind of, I mean, you live with that. I mean, if Barry Bonds is going to be that way and hit 73 home runs, you just live with it. So, I don't know. Maybe that's part of my thinking, too.
You look toward the Spanish league now, the Premier Division down, and when Real Madrid, having lost Marcus Llorente, a permanent transfer to Atletico Madrid. Is this signifying maybe a change in the power structure with Atleti finally maybe being able to step up and snatch the title?
Well, listen, I can never count them out. I think Atleti's highlight was that they had their Wanda Stadium host the Champions League final. That was probably the highlight of their off season so far. But listen, the Galacticos are always going to spend money. They, like Barcelona, have these huge power structure with elections and presidents. I would say that the Real Madrid and Barcelona, like Joan Laporte, those types of elections, Vicente del Bosque, they're probably more intriguing than the presidential election of Spain itself. So they're never going to be, I'll never see a power structure. It's not like they're going to drop down and all of a sudden be like, Rayo Valladolid.
Also Rans, essentially.
Mm.
That's basically what you would say that will never happen.
No.
Is that they get relegated.
They would have to be like Juve and cheat and get kicked out of the league.
Speaking of not getting kicked out or not necessarily cheating, but Chelsea, what to make of the plight in which Chelsea finds itself with the transfer ban as you head right now? We're sitting in just about the heart or the beginning of what should be a busy summer for the big clubs, yet they've got to sit on their hands. How much will this affect Chelsea, not only this year, but next year?
I remember going to Stamford Bridge and they were singing, Carefree, wherever we may be, we are the mighty CFC and we'll build you up. Screw them.
Wow, that's nice.
They have just signed, well, Christian Pulisic joined. Tottenham literally more than 500 days now since they bought a player. They sold Eden Hazard to Madrid, and I saw something that was absolutely hilarious, by the way, and I'd like to quote it because this, to me, is today's world. This is a quote from Emerson Palmieri from Chelsea about Eden Hazard leaving. He said, "It's weird. He sent a thank you, I love you guys, and then it showed Eden Hazard has left the WhatsApp group, and I said, damn, he's really gone." That's the way people think now, Dan.
That's so funny. That's officially what signified it. If you break up with a girl, it's not official until you change your status on Facebook.
That's exactly right. So I thought that was, I made a little note of that. I thought that was pretty funny. Well, the thing is, Chelsea, I mean, they disrespected their manager. He got no love the whole year. He's gone, sorry. And so now it looks like Lamps is the guy. Lampard, who Dennis Wise already said, well, he didn't get Derby promoted, did he? But this is what we do now. You know, you get the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you get some club legend. I was actually at Frank Lampard's first ever game for Chelsea. It was right when he transferred from West Ham at Stamford Bridge, and it was a Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank hat trick against a hapless Casey Keller of Tottenham Hotspur, and then they put on Lamps late, and he scored. I actually have a selfie with Lamps. This is before cell phones.
Nice.
Yeah, and he's frowning in it. He, Joe Cole, and Mourinho. That picture of me and Mourinho was in 442 magazine, I'll have you know.
Impressive. Yeah, look at you. Name dropping.
Bragging.
Name dropping yourself.
Braggadocious.
I was actually featured in Sunset magazine one time, but that's a story for another
Flubber
podcast. Yes. And we could go tit for tat.
How about Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, that was a big failure. Three bankrupts, and I'll see you later.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. I solved a couple puzzles. I made a little bit of scratch, but ultimately the wheel is what dispelled me.
What does it go? Womp, womp. What is
beep
it?
I think it's a BU.
The bomb deflating?
Basically. My dream of a trip to St. Kitts deflating. Here's one for you, and this is...
And Nevis.
Yes, exactly, because you got to go to both. You can't go to St. Kitts.
As you would say, don't sleep on Nevis.
Don't sleep on Nevis. We'll love him at Nevis.
Oh, that's, how about that? Yeah. A little Levitt's. Wow.
Yeah, we bought a couch from Levitt's way, way back. It was a pretty good little piece of furniture.
Wow, I think we got ours from Roos Atkins.
Oh, my God. You're just killing me. Golasso Furniture-o, I mean Supremo,
yes.
Here Tittle and Dibley. Looks like Man U is settling on a high-priced target, high-priced in quotes, tongue-in-cheek. AFC Bournemouth star David Brooks apparently is going to likely be snapped up by Manchester United, one of the Premier League's most exciting young players. 8 goals this year in 42 comps. What does it say, though, about Manchester United that this might be one of the bigger splashes, a relative unknown from Sheffield United by way of Bournemouth?
Well, I mean, that's what they do. They poach young players. You can think about when they had to have Chris Smalling from Fulham, and he played a long time, and Antonio Valencia. You have to poach these. The smartest thing that Aston Villa ever did was not sell Jack Grealish to Tottenham last year, because he helped them get promoted. It's hard when you're struggling, but a team that big like Villa could hold on. The best news for United is that they re-signed Juan Mata. I think he's underused. Whenever I've seen... or Mata, I guess you could say. Whenever I've seen Mata play against Tottenham when he was with Chelsea, he would always score a goal. But then, you know, we heard the rumors that Pogba says he wants to go back to Juve. So, as I said, you know, these red toppers, there's six of them. They need to sell magazine. In Italy, if you think about the Corriere dello Sport and all these, Il Messaggero, they have 40 pages on soccer every day, 365.
Man.
You have to make stuff up.
Got to generate content.
Fake news.
Fake news, dude. It's so fake. I'm not going there, bro. The 21-year-old will reportedly sign for roughly 50 million quid. And the young man was a fan of Manchester United growing up. It's great. And the team's already signed 21-year-old winger Daniel James from Swansea earlier this month for about 15 million. So you look at Manchester United, and if you're a fan of the Reds, you don't see necessarily a lot of familiar veterans, but wow, what a great group of young players, from Marcus Rashford and now adding these 21-year-olds, Daniel James and David Brooks as well.
Yeah, you got Jesse Lampard there and you got some young players. But the other thing is, I was actually on a Liverpool show the other day. They were saying that because Manchester United is not in the Champions League, you're not going to get an established player. You just got to go young like this. So, interesting point.
Looks like Liverpool has made a decision on Lone Star Marco Grujic's future. The Liverpool Echo, which maybe is a paper that you know about because you're a big deal in Liverpool, apparently. The club plans to loan out the 23-year-old again, but Jurgen Klopp says he does have a future at Anfield. He'll be on loan to Hertha Berlin. How much can he help Hertha Berlin this year?
Hertha.
In the Bundesliga.
Hertha Berlin, who plays in the Olympic Stadium, by the way. John Brooks of the United States played there, and another American, I can't remember now. To me, the biggest news out of Liverpool was the fact that Everton got Gomes. On a permanent transfer. He was on loan. That's huge for them. He was a very good midfield player. But, Liverpool at this point, they're so stacked. If that's their biggest news right now, that's like when, you know, last year with the Warriors, it was like, oh, Jacob Evans, what's he going to do? It's like, it doesn't really matter.
Same level, basically. Yeah. Mm. Well, here's one that's got a little bit more wattage for you. If I said, show me the money, you would know I was talking about Harry
Cuba
Maguire.
Gooding Jr.
No, Harry Maguire. The great movie, Harry Maguire. And it looks like Man City is going to nudge out Man United for the Leicester City center back, Harry Maguire. So it looks like it's a case of the rich getting richer. Is this going to signal the end of Vincent Kompany at the Etihad?
Vincent Kompany has already gone back to Brussels. To Anderlecht.
So there you go.
Yeah, he's back. And then I feel bad for Leicester, but they won the league and now they're selling off parts. Why they fired Claudio Ranieri, I'll never understand. Harry Maguire, I'll tell you what, when he made the World Cup team in Russia, I was very surprised. And then he played very, very well. He's been basically a permanent fixture with the Three Lions since then. So, you know, this is what happens when you're a small club. It's too bad for the Foxes.
Yes, indeed. Too bad. But at least they had the one title, which other clubs of their size could never say.
Yeah, my team's never won in my whole lifetime.
So. Yeah, hang in there. Hang in there. Real close to that Champions League, too.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Christian Eriksen and his future with Tottenham?
Well, what he said was that after 9 years, maybe it's time to move on. But he also said, unless nothing bigger comes along. So it's basically asking a girl to the prom and she says, you know, I really like you, but if the hot, handsome quarterback comes in, I'm going to say yes. So just wait. If he asks someone else, then I'll go with you.
Yeah, that's a scary one, though, because that might be the hottest girl in town for you up there in Tottenham. He does so much.
He's absolutely irreplaceable. I mean, I've said this before, more assists than anyone in the Prem since he's been there. Most goals from outside the box. Talismanic, as we like to say. an irreplaceable guy. We're not going to get Eric Jemba Jemba to replace him.
And a threat with both feet, which is increasingly rare at this level, as we like to say. Couple more, Rick, before we wrap it up. USA and Sweden just about ready to head to halftime. USA still up 1-0 as Megan Rapinoe probes down the left wing. Gonzalo Higuain, how big of a disaster was that for Chelsea to bring him in, posit him as some sort of savior, and then watch him get ushered out of town weeks later?
Well, it's a weird thing. I kind of liken it to 1986, the Giants picking up Dave Henderson and not putting him on the playoff roster.
That's not a bad call.
Thank you. It's just, I mean, he's too good. And I would love to have a guy. Can you imagine the Champions League final? Instead of bringing in Fernando Llorente, you can bring in a Gonzalo Higuain, guy of that pedigree. Somebody will sign him. Also, I want to give a little shout out too here, because I bring my syndicated show into this just about every week. But I'm buddies with Rocco Camiso. He is the owner of the Cosmos, and unbelievably, he just bought Fiorentina.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we were talking about that yesterday, and he said, and this will include anyone who's with me, he said, if I ever go to the Franchi Stadium there in Firenze, Florence, which I love, he said, don't even think about free tickets. Everything's free, and you'll sit in the director's box with him. So he's an Italian immigrant who went to Colombia, got rich, bought the Cosmos, and now he is the first ever Italian immigrant to buy a Serie A team. Congratulations to Fiorentina. You got a rich guy who's very, very ambitious, and we have a free spot in the director's box if we go to Tuscany.
Is that Florence? Is that where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to Florence?
Yes.
Remarkable place.
Love it.
I would go back there in a heartbeat, especially if it meant VIP treatment to watch a little football.
Yes, unless we get a John Asquaga treatment. You know what that is?
John Asquaga, the nugget, right?
Yeah.
Is that the old golden nugget?
It's a story.
John Asquaga's nugget. It's just ringing a bell from the 80s.
I probably shouldn't say this on a podcast, but now it's too late.
Too late.
But I know someone who used to play tennis with John Asquaga in the 70s. And the guy would always go, John Asquaga would say, when are you going to work for me? I got three casinos. When are you going to work for me? When are you going to work for me? So the guy got fired and he showed up at his office and he goes, I'm ready to work for you now. And he goes, get the F out of my office. So Rocco Camiso, hey, it's me, Rick Tittle. Prego.
Totally. But we flew all this way.
No speak English.
Man.
So I don't know. Anyway, he made the offer on the air, so I can hold him to it.
Mark the tape.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game podcast network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.